Jonna, I'm a baseball guy like you, and to me, the Punxsutawney Phil, the groundhog who declares whether it's an early spring or not, means nothing to me. When spring training starts, as far as I'm concerned, that's when spring starts.
That's right. Pitchers and catchers today. So it's there's a lot of winter left, but, boy, this is sure a hopeful sign. And, you know, to come on the heels of this mid-February thaw, it's just a perfect symmetry.
All right, let's not jinx it. Let's move on here. Let's talk about today's column, and you've touched on this already. But in talking about that crash in Meridian Township, which claimed the lives of three teenagers, it's a weird proposition to start playing God when you talk about the driver.
Yeah.
Is he at fault? Is he not? And
right.
your column, not only today, but I've seen other columns dealing with this. This has touched a hot button a lot of people.
Yeah, it has, and there's no question that he was at fault. I mean, it's just really a matter of, you know, what sort of response that fault requires. You know, the whole question of, you know, retribution versus, you know, trying to get the kid back on track and address the situation without compounding the tragedy by throwing another young life away. That's really the issue.
Well, in your column today, a gentleman by the name of Terry Edwards of Perry starts out writing, and this is in your column, "I cannot keep my mouth shut any longer on this. I'm sick to my stomach about the public persecution that's going on concerning the driver of the car that killed the three teens."
Yeah. This is a person who's own son was involved in a similar tragedy. He was the driver and killed himself and a friend of his. So it's a little bit different in that the kid never had to, to survive, to face the condemnation. But this guy wonders, you know, if his son had lived, if he could have survived the aftermath. If Brett Johnson, the driver in the original the crash that we're talking about, is any kind of a decent person, and I've seen no evidence to the contrary, then he's already, living in a hell. And, that's not to say that his actions should be excused or forgotten, but, we need to temper it with mercy, too. And I guess that's the thing that I've been sort of advocating in my columns, and a lot of people have agreed, and some have not. Some have said, he made the mistake, he did the crime, and he should do the time. And so we'll have to see how it plays out.
I thought the following segment of your column from Donald Smith, who's a professor at MSU.
And a traffic safety expert,
Yeah, said this was not an accident by definition.
Right, right. I take issue with that. I guess his point is that it wasn't an accident that Mr. Johnson decided to drink, if that's how it turns out, and it wasn't an accident that he got behind the wheel. But what followed, I would argue, was an accident. I mean, he certainly was not intending to hurt his friends, and so I don't know. I guess we could quibble about the definition of an accident, but I think it has all the earmarks of something that was not intended.
You know, what I've learned, John, is something that already echoes something that I learned a long time ago. Kids, people need to take responsibility for their actions even before anything crazy happens. Obviously, you could tell the kids that they shouldn't have been drinking because they were underage. They shouldn't have been drinking and driving. But we've got to teach our kids not to get into vehicles like
that. That's the key. Prevention is certainly, preferable to any other sort of approach. On the other hand, we've all been there. We've all, as teenagers, immature, people who don't grasp all the consequences of our actions. We've all been in situations where we shouldn't have done something that we did, and it was risky. And, 999 times out of 1,000, we get away with it, and occasionally we don't. And yeah. I guess,
John, it's like a darn if you do, darn it if you don't. I never in my life thought I'd be the nagging parent. But, you don't want to nag, but you just want to drill it into them.
Oh, sure.
To just do this and don't do that.
Yeah, and there's nothing but like that terrifying feeling the first time you hand your kid the keys and they go off by themselves, and it's You know, you hope that you've got their head screwed on correctly and they'll make the right choices, but you know in your heart that occasionally they're not going to make the right choice, and you just pray that they have, you know, the luck to survive it.
Well, John, as I've heard Tim Stout say many times, once you have kids, the worry never goes away.
That's true. Right. And my kids are grown and on their own, and, you know, they've survived teenagehood and young adulthood. I better knock wood here. And yet you still, you still worry about them all the time.
All right. Thanks so much. We'll talk with you soon.
Okay, Tony.